The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O.R.J. Ochoa. He is the 7-5 two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, welcome to Life at 500.
Life at 500 and back-to-back wins on the road.
That's right.
And Thanksgiving Eve, by the way, happy Thanksgiving Eve. A lot of great things have happened over the last 3 weeks as we get ready for this Thanksgiving Day game tomorrow. But as you just mentioned, man, I mean, life is good in Cowboy world, and in the NFL, it is the landscape of the unknown.
You're right. So so you mentioned, just to kind of set the stage, because this is a crazy week for so many people with family and traveling and so many things. You and I are recording this on Wednesday, November 21st. It's our only 750 of the week because of the nature, the hecticness, but we did understand that a lot of people would be driving and, you know, probably want to listen to some tunes and some podcasts. So we said, hey, let's go, let's hang out with guys while they drive from Amarillo to Dallas or whatever the case may be. But yeah, the Cowboys, you know, I guess this is where we should start. They picked up a huge win on the road, as you mentioned, your old stomping grounds in Atlanta against the Falcons. And by the way, before we talk about the game, I was there with my dad. We had a great time. We went to the College Football Hall of Fame and saw none other than Tony Casillas and all the stuff they had going on for him. Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate the little shout out on Twitter. And you know, when I got inducted, the College Football Hall of Fame was in South Bend, Indiana. So it wasn't all this innovative, didn't have all this interface and everything that's gone on there in Atlanta. But yeah, thanks a lot for that. And, you know, some of those pictures you sent me, man, take me back in the day, the big mustache. But nevertheless, it's great to be part of that. And, I mean, what a great opportunity and experience for you to have those memories. That's those memories with your dad going to Atlanta on a road trip. I mean, those are memories you'll remember for the rest of your life.
It was really cool, really great. We really enjoyed the Hall of Fame, enjoyed the world of Coca-Cola. I did not know before we kind of planned this trip that Coca-Cola was based in Atlanta.
But oh, it's huge. Did you find a secret recipe, by the way?
We did, yeah. It was kind of a chore, but we did. So it was really cool, really great game. And we got a lot of questions on Twitter, my dad and I, about the whole experience. And quickly, I will say that Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I don't want to say is better than AT&T Stadium, but you can tell that there's been a decade of evolution that's happened. And that's why it's so awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
It really is. I mean, it's fantastic, and it makes for a great football game. But yeah, I can't believe that AT&T is already 10 years old.
Well, I know, and just how fast technology advances. I mean, one thing I do like about Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta is just that little circular opening at the very top, and it just, like, everything is just so new, and it's Vogue and contemporary. And but I'm glad that the Cowboys were able to run their party,
sure,
and get a road trip victory.
So Cowboys won on the road. They had not won before these two wins in a row. They had not won on the road yet for the season. They had not won consecutive games. They have now won consecutive games, both of which were on the road, both of which were against the last two NFC champions in the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. They also had not had back-to-back games with at least 20 points. They did that with 27 in Philly and 22 in Atlanta. So I'll ask you this, and this is kind of a middle ground question between Atlanta and Washington. What do you think about the Cowboys right now?
I think that they've showed a lot of character. They showed a lot of resilience. Again, I know what happens as a player on the flip side of just being going through just a dry spell and not being able to win. You're getting beat up around you. Everyone is saying how bad you are, and change is coming all the way. And then all of a sudden you flip a switch and the script is flipped to something totally different.
Right.
Here's the thing about it, as we know this, RJ, winning solves a lot of problems, a lot of dysfunction. We know it's like a family.
Sure.
We all have dysfunctional people in our family, but if everyone's healthy and everyone gets along, then it makes it better to be around each other. You know, speaking of Thanksgiving, everyone to be around the table at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's for the Cowboys, like 5-5. And again, just, winning on the road creates so much energy, so much enthusiasm, so much confidence. And now you're feeling really good about yourself. And I think that's the best thing could have happened. And the way they did it, 22-19, to go there and stop and really hold a really good offensive team in the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, there's a lot of great things they were able to cultivate out of these last 2 weeks.
Oh, I think that what they did in Atlanta is really impressive when you consider what that offense has been for the better part of the last 5 years, and certainly in recent history. I mean, again, this was a team that set all sorts of records 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. I think the most glaring statistic for me from this game was I went and looked at all of the Falcons' home games so far, because in that stadium with the hole, literal hole in the roof, they're a different offense. And in their five games before this one at Mercedes-Benz, they had their first touchdown of the game at the very latest came in the second quarter. By halftime of all five games, they had a touchdown on the board of, you know, whether it was one or two, whatever. It took until past the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter for them to score their first touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys. It sounds so small, but that is unbelievable to me.
Well, especially if you look at the people they have on their side of the ball with the wide receivers, they've had their whole dealt with the injuries on the offensive side of the ball. But regardless, I mean, it's an offense that's built to score points and vertical down the field. And to be able to go on the road and be able to respond to that, because without a doubt, everyone knows that this team has been built on the defensive performance this year. And you just think if you just get a little help, and that's the thing, the most impressive thing that I've seen in this team. They've been in a lot of games because their defense. But even I think the most important thing we look at is how good their offense, how close their offense could really be to just really blowing it open. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of seeing, it's almost like they're dangling the carrot. And
yeah,
you think that they're just going to bust it wide open and some stupid thing, you know, just really quirky thing happens. And for some reason, they're able to get the points. But I think, again, and I think teams are able, and maybe this is the evolution of this offense because of the new players, you know, Amari Cooper and just, you know, you got the best, I think, one of the best offensive players in the National Football League, Ezekiel Elliott. It just seems like it's on the brink of really opening up.
Yeah.
And if this defense keeps continuing to ball like they have, again, they can just continue to put wins together.
I think you're right. I think that offensively, you know, and I think being fair, they scored 22 points and three of them were in the last seconds of the game. So it's not like they're setting any records themselves right now.
Exactly.
But it does feel, I don't know if I would say like they're ready to blow the doors off, but it feels like they're so close to just becoming legitimate. And I mean legitimate as in a standard run-of-the-mill NFL offense. You know, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to be the Chiefs or the Rams or the Saints, but I do think that we're seeing an offense that can average 20 to 28 points on a weekly basis, which is what you need to win.
That's probably the average.
Right.
And you can't even complete – that whole nonsense of what happened on Monday night was, just, to me, I think is an anomaly.
Right.
That's what those teams did. But, yeah, 28 points, to me, that's pretty solid. And not just field goals. I'm talking about solid, touchdowns in the game.
Right. Well, and let's say 28 points. Let's just use that as a random number. If the Cowboys averaged 28 points, which is fairly high. I mean, but it is today's NFL. If they averaged 28 points, they would have won every single game except for one this season. They have the most that any opponent they have played this season has scored has been 28 points. It was the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football. So even, you know, you don't got to get all the way to 28. You know, I mean, if you can average 24, 26 points, you know, and we're seeing that 27 and 22. I mean, that's an average right there in the middle. And so that's why they're having success, I think. This game, I think, was sort of the culmination of their offensive ideas really working, especially in the second half when Amari Cooper got going a little bit. Cole Beasley made up for that whoops-a-daisy in the first half. And Zeke Elliott, I mean, you mentioned they're getting him involved in the passing game. I'm only referencing two games here, but Zeke's been targeted 15 times in the passing game over the last two games, which are the two wins. That's the most targets he's ever seen in two consecutive games. So it does seem like he's getting more involved through the air, and that's why I think they're having success.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I need to restate that. And that's another thing about when we're always talking about, we always get just romance by points an offense has to put up. And just that stat you just read, think about that. And, you know, people don't realize that when you look at the top 10 teams in the National Football League, you know, besides New Orleans, besides Kansas City, and besides the Rams, I mean, all the other teams in the National Football League, you know, that's kind of the barometer. When you look at that 28, below 28, I mean, that's the average for teams in the National Football League. And again, the Cole Beasley drop. I mean, that he usually makes those. So those are the forced, those are the mistakes that I'm talking about as far as on the offensive side of the ball. Instead of scoring a touchdown, kicking a field goal, instead of, you know, catching that pass or, you know, being able to execute and score 6 points and being able to really take advantage of those opportunities, I think those are going to come, but it's a positive thing to see what they're doing with their offense. And whenever, you know, Zeke is hot, again, they're kind of unstoppable, especially in the fourth quarter when you're pounding, you're leaning on those defensive linemen, those guys are wearing them down. That's when you go for the jugular vein.
It really is so good to see the young players, and I say that, it's not like Zeke is even an old player. You know, I mean, he's under 25 years old. He's in his third year. He's hardly an old player, but he's one of the more seasoned veterans on this particular team. But I thought one of the plays of the game was Michael Gallup on that game-winning drive, third and five. He had a route where he came back to the ball. He had a really critical third down conversion. He had one in Philadelphia we talked about at the end of the first half. And, again, goes without saying, here at the 750 blog of the boys, all of our thoughts with Michael Gallup and his family following the death
That's
of his
horrible.
Brother.
Yeah, God bless him.
He's really come on. And it does kind of remind you, and I don't want to paint this as a negative thing for Michael Gallup, but he kind of reminds you of an early on Terrence Williams. And I say that because people will be like, dude, don't compare him to Terrence. We hate Terrence. But Terrence, early on, that especially that 2014 season, just had a knack for making the clutch play. For whatever it was that, you know, people I think back to 3rd and 20 in Seattle, he had a knack for just making the play. And he wasn't the superstar on that team. And I think it's just a matter of everyone was devoting attention to Dez and Witten, whatever. And like that third down play, that's Michael Gallup, I think, benefiting from Amari Cooper drawing whoever it is. So I think the Cowboys have those pieces. And so it's really cool to see them gelling and growing together as one young bunch.
Yeah, and you know, anytime you bring a veteran in like Amari Cooper, I mean, he's a young guy, but it's been a proven commodity in the National Football League, and you mix him with a rookie and younger players, it kind of elevates your game because the guy kind of sets an example. And if you're watching practice and running routes, I mean, that's the thing that you really – that's really when you cultivate and you developed who you are and what type of player you are in practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, Michael Irvin used to do it seamlessly. After practice, he'd run extra routes and just really until he just, you know, it was something that he just felt like he wasn't satisfied during practice, so he had to get more reps at the end of practice. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of feel like that they're able to, you know, younger players kind of feed off that and the relationship that they may have in that wide receiver room. I mean, I don't know. I'm just going by experience that I've had with, you know, my guys and defensive players and just my observation on a team where you look around and you see all the great ones. Sure. Yeah, I really like that. The only thing that I'm gonna probably be a little bit critical of at times, I don't know if you noticed it, Zeke in that game looked like he got gassed. And I know right down on the goal line when – they put Rod Smith in, and they weren't able to punch it in. I just feel like, you know, maybe he's – I don't know what his pitch count is. I don't know how many plays they want to get him. But I just felt like if you'd had Zeke in there, I thought they had a better chance of scoring a touchdown. And yet he tapped out and went on the sideline. And I don't know. I mean, that building, you were there. I mean, sometimes the air is not as good. But it just seemed to me, Zeke needs to be on the field when you're down, first and goal, or second and goal, or third and goal. He needs to be in the game.
Yeah, my dad has a saying. Do you remember way back, and it's kind of poetic because LeBron's Lakers visit the Cavaliers tonight. The first LeBron in Cleveland stretch, do you remember there was this big center on their team, Zydrunas Ilgauskas?
Oh, yeah.
And he was so tall. He was so huge. I remember the first time my dad ever saw him, he said, that dude would be running for me everywhere. He said, I would use that guy as a goalie. He said he would be begging me to come out of the game because I would exhaust him. And
I don't know, unless he was like Sean Bradley. I don't know. Sean Bradley.
Yeah. So that's when I think of kind of what you're saying about Zeke, I would use Zeke like Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Yeah,
you got to exhaust him. I mean,
yeah, that's what I think.
I'm not saying like work him to death. I mean, he's got to rest. I mean, there's conventional wisdom here. But to your point, if you're in the red zone, for no reason on earth should Zeke not be on the field.
Right. If you got it on the 1 yard line, mm-hmm. and maybe that's just me. I don't know. Again, during the course of the game, I mean, he's running hard. I mean, anytime you average over 10 yards per carry, you're going to be tired.
Sure.
I mean, I get that. But I just feel like that in any part of the game, any place and time, Zeke needs to be on the field when they have it on the 1 yard line.
Well, overall, certainly a great win. And you and I were just kind of being picky, because we want this team to be better and to win more games, etc. Before we dive into Thanksgiving specifically, I think it's important to kind of realize and discuss where the Cowboys are at. So as it stands, entering Thanksgiving, the Washington Redskins lead the division at 6-4, Cowboys 5-5, Eagles 4-6, Giants 3-7. There are 5 NFC East common games over the next 3 weeks that are going to be so pivotal to how this thing ultimately shakes out. This week, week 12, the Cowboys host the Redskins on Thanksgiving, and then on Sunday, the Eagles host the Giants. Next week, after the Cowboys play the Saints on Thursday Night Football, which, by the way, Tony, I believe your Super Bowl 28 team will be honored that night. That will be very exciting. Later that week, the Eagles host the Redskins, which, will be very, very important as well. And the following week, that, I think, is the game that is going to matter for the whole thing for the Cowboys, because they will host the Eagles themselves while the Redskins host the Giants. So those 5 games, the Cowboys play in 2 of them, and obviously you want those 2 to go your way, but you want the other 3 to go, the right way, everything to shake out. But so I'll say this. So the Eagles, let's look at them specifically, because I think with the Alex Smith injury, which is horrible.
Horrific.
I think we both think that even though they're 2 games back of Washington, they're a far greater threat than the Redskins because of everything that's happened. So who wins these next 2 games in your mind? This week, Eagles, Giants, who wins that game?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of hard to base it off New Orleans because New Orleans is so
sure.
They're just phenomenal right now. But I just don't – the Eagles, to me, their offense is just not – it's not like it was last year, obviously. I don't know what it's missing. I know New Orleans is a pretty good defense. They're pretty active. But, I don't see the energy. I don't see the continuity in that offense this year. And I know the Giants – hey, look, I think I've learned and you've learned this year that nothing's etched in stone.
That's true.
But based on our picks and everything that we've seen, especially in the NFC East, you don't know. And the Giants, again but if I had to pick a team, I had to pick the Eagles to win this weekend.
Sure, and you're right.
But it really wouldn't surprise me, RJ, if they lost. It really would.
I agree, but I agree with you that, if pulling teeth, I'd pick Philly to win this game.
And then it was cautionary tale, and with everything else, I'll pick them.
And so let's continue down this hypothetical here. That puts them at 5-6. So next week they host the Redskins. I think we both think they win that game. Again, kind of a coin flip sort of thing with the way the division's going. But if you had to choose, wouldn't you choose Philly?
I mean, like you said, yes. I mean, realistically, and if I'm a football person, I'm looking at both teams, and I'd have to go with them. I'd have to go with Philly.
So then they'll be hypothetically, again, nobody freak out here. They'll be 6-6 after 2 weeks. The Cowboys are currently 5-5, and I think that you and I both think that they're going to split these next 2 games against the Redskins and the Saints, right? That seems fair?
You know, again, look, I think stranger things have happened. Here, I just, to me, I think I have to look at it this way. It's a week to week. I mean, I don't hate to use this, the cliche all the time about a week at a time, game at a time. But realistically, if I look how great New Orleans is playing, yeah, I would say sure. Right now, if they play, without a doubt, they're so one of the hottest teams in National Football League. But if the Cowboys can win three in a row, they get them at home, and there's – I'm trying to think of when it was. It was 4 or 5 years ago when the Cowboys went to New Orleans and no one gave them a chance in the world.
It was 2009. It was on a Saturday 2009. Night.
It's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just – with every week they win and the confidence they build and some different things change, I mean, I'm whatever the spread is, if it's a high spread, I'm not going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the points. But, again – We're trying to speak with a little
law of averages
perspective.
Yeah,
perspective here. And I'm not trying. I guess I'm wavering a lot more now. If you had asked me that 3 weeks ago, I think I said I would have said no brainer. But now it changes. It's back and forth, kind of sure. Like they were. I would expect them to lose to New Orleans.
So then,
without a doubt.
So then, we'll pick the game in a little bit, but it's a little bit of a spoiler. I think we're both going to pick the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So that would put the Cowboys at 6-6 and the Eagles at 6-6 with right. Philly headed to Dallas on December 9th. That's the division as far as I'm concerned, because after that, you and I have been talking about this gauntlet for a few weeks now. And to both of our surprise, I think the Cowboys are 2-0 in it, having won those. We thought there's no way they're going to go to Philly or Atlanta and get a win. And they won both games. So respect to them. But after that Eagles game, the gauntlet is sort of over. They've got Indianapolis on the road the week after. That game's gotten a little tougher because the Colts have really come on so far across the league. But after that, you get the Bucks at home, and then you get the Giants on the road. So I think if you're the Cowboys, you've got to win two of these next three games. And one of them has to be the Eagles game. You have to win two of these next three. So you really basically just... it sounds weird when we're talking about a 5-5 team, but they kind of can afford to lose that Saints game the way the math works out, because the Eagles still have to play the Rams and the Texans, and I think they're probably going to drop both those games.
Right, and I think that's a wonderful thing about the beginning of the season. It's all speculation. And I think when we get to week eight, we kind of get a kind of feel and kind of see which teams are – you know, taking off and, you know, the middle of the road teams and the below averages. And so we just kind of sprinkle that in. So I think we get a better gauge of where the teams are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in the NFC East also, it's been this bipolar league, this division. I mean, it's been up and down. And again, a lot of the teams they're getting help also. I mean, if you get help from other teams mathematically, and especially in November and December, because again, I like the fact that they have all these division games, and there's a lot right on the line. You mentioned it. The matchup when the Eagles come to Dallas, that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be you circle that game, and that's going to be huge ramifications on that game.
So you've said a lot before when you've talked about your playing days, how you liked playing on the road. You've said, and I mean, you didn't say you liked it better than home, but you just said it was different, that you're a little bit more focused in some senses. You don't have certain distractions around you. You're in a hotel. You don't have family and tickets and the whole nine yards. Today, as you and I sit, is November 21st. The next time the Dallas Cowboys play a road game is December 16th. Mm-hmm. If you were a player and I told you that, I mean, now, you know, obviously today, how would that make you feel?
That made me feel pretty confident and feel pretty good about what our chances are, because that's the thing. You kind of ride the storm. You look at these games. You're on the road. You get back-to-back roads. And then that, you know, road games, and you're back home. And I always thought Thanksgiving was a tremendous time. Again, coming off wins, especially two wins. You got Washington coming in here. Colt McCoy is their backup quarterback. You know, they're struggling. They got some injuries on, you know, both sides of the ball. And I think it sets up very well. And again, the confidence that it exudes and feeling really good about yourself, feeling good about what can happen. And again, winning fixes a lot of different things. So it sets up such a great opportunity for them. And again, you're at home on Thanksgiving and the team's got to travel. So this is the better time for you. And all that other stuff, the BS that happened before with – the Titans game,
yeah,
that's way, way in the rearview mirror. People don't even think about that.
So you said that you always kind of enjoyed playing for Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I was really curious. What's that like? Because now we're at a day and age where everybody plays on Thursdays at some point, but I feel like it's still different. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. As somebody who's been there, is there just this kind of energy like, oh man, it's home, that we're always here, it's our game, the whole world knows, it's Thanksgiving. I mean, what's that like in that locker room?
Well, just what you just said about the people, the focus on the game. And, you know, Dallas has always been history of playing on Thanksgiving. And it's so funny you mentioned that. I was working out today, and they're showing, you know, the top 10 games or misfortunate things that happened in Thanksgiving, and they showed the Leon Lett Thanksgiving Day.
we are celebrating the 25-year anniversary.
So that always pops up. I always tell Leon it's better to be be remembered than forgotten. It doesn't matter what it is. But
let's talk about that. Let's take a hard left for a second, because okay, there aren't a lot of people on this earth who were there. What was that like for you? Take us back to Tony Casillas' memory in that moment, everything that went down.
Well, first of all, it was so weird that day because, you know, the weather in Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the only state I know in one day you can go from winter to spring and in the next, 10 hours.
Yeah.
You can wake up and you're scraping ice off your window, and that afternoon you're wearing shorts. I mean, it's just crazy. So I remember on our way, we stayed at the old Marriott. So we're driving. It started kind of sleeting a little bit. So we were driving, and when we went out for pregame, that hole in the top of the stadium where they thought that so God could look down on the Cowboys.
Of course,
that's one that day I wish God would have shut the roof, because when we came out there, there was probably 2 inches of sleet. Okay, and going back 25 years ago, it wasn't, and really you couldn't really scrape it off because it was like sleet. It was sleet on. It was ice with snow on top of it. So wow. We go out and we're just kind of digging into stuff, and we're playing the Dolphins. And I remember O.J. Simpson was there on the sideline, mm-hmm, with his. Unfortunately, we won't get into the whole deal, but Nicole Brown Simpson. I remember seeing them on the sideline, and God rest her show and Ron. Excuse me, her soul and Rod Goldman. But anyway, it's another story. So we're in the game, and we're trying to wrap this up, and I think we did they block it or they
you blocked it. It's don't touch
right,
it.
Right, right. Yeah, we blocked it, and it's like the first thing everyone says. So we're on the sideline, like, okay, good. We're getting ready to wrap this up. We're gonna go home, spend Thanksgiving. Hopefully, we'll make it home because the weather's so horrible outside.
Right.
And again, as I mentioned, you got all your family there. We're gonna go do Thanksgiving. And next thing you do it, we blocked the field goal. And next, the first thing they tell you, and when you're in Pop Warner football, is Peter. Peter. That means get the hell away from the ball. Well, all I see, and you see this, you can pull it up. All you see is Leon Lett sliding, doing – he's trying to make a snow angel on the ball. And he tips it and knocks it off. And next thing you know, where you see all everyone's reaction like, what the hell just happened? And then they go out there and they're scraping off the place where they spot the ball for the holder to hold the ball for the kicker, and end up winning the game. And we're just like, we're just shaking our head. So we go into the halftime, and I just remember Leon, he was just beside himself, and he felt so horrible. But I remember Jimmy saying, hey, it's okay, big boy. We'll take that. You're a hell of a player, and if it had been anyone else, I would have cut their ass. But since it's you, it's all good. But it was just so weird. It was, again, you always, that's something you're taught with at an early age, and he was so, he was so giddy about getting this ball. I mean, he just had one of those brain farts, football brain farts. Okay, but it's always funny to see how. Excited and how it's like, I'm going to recover from it. Well, no, Leon, if you do that. And then he knocked it and they recovered it. But, again, he will never forget that moment.
I mean, I think it's a lot funnier because you guys won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
So that's like a footnote. Yeah. It really didn't matter.
You guys didn't lose a game the rest of the season. You mentioned the holder. The holder was actually Doug Peterson, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
It really is crazy. And I remember there's a great documentary series called America's Game that profiles each Super Bowl champion, and the 93 Cowboys America's Game, Bill Bates is one of the narrators. And so he's telling that story that you just told, and he says that Leon got a letter from a little girl afterwards. And the girl said, "Don't worry, Leon, it's okay, we still love you. You know, this isn't even the dumbest thing anyone's done for the Cowboys. Last year in the Super Bowl, some guy was stupid enough to put the ball out and fumbled it."
And she goes, "Well, by the way," he's like, "Oh, okay. But I think that was you, Mr. Lett."
Yeah. So that's just one of the greater Cowboys Thanksgiving stories, certainly. I think the snow makes that story, honestly, because, you know, you look at it, that's just a place where, you never expect to see snow, was Texas Stadium, certainly. So that's really great. And again, the fact that you guys won the Super Bowl makes it cooler. We'll celebrate again that anniversary next week before Thursday Night Football. So really cool. Is that your favorite Thanksgiving memory from playing?
I think that's the most memorable moment that I've ever had. I guess it was, because just the elements, the weather, and everything was just so screwy. I mean, driving there and just kind of sledding out of there after the game. And the turn of events, what happened with Leon. And just we went from like, okay, we got this game to like I said, what the hell just happened?
I think,
and then we watched the highlight, because we really didn't get the chance to see the high, you know, the replay of the play until later on. And we saw just how he just lost his head. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I mean, you know, Leon, man, I love him. He's my brother. And we joke each other about it all the time. And that's one thing about it. They will never forget Leon Lett. One, they will never forget him for Super Bowl 27, and they won't forget him for the Thanksgiving debacle game. And he just looked so – he just looked so innocent.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even know, like he'd never played football in his entire life, that's never happened before.
Yeah, like he would be like, "Wait a minute, you mean I can't touch it?"
Yeah,
you
know? I can't do that.
Yeah.
Dad, I mean, no, son, you that's Peter. You got to stay away from that. That's
I think it's amazing.
It's like kryptonite on it.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that you guys played a snow game in Texas Stadium against the Dolphins. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you would think, like, you think snow, you think those colder teams, you think Steelers playing the snow. No. Talk about the Miami Dolphins.
So, well, yeah, it's just polar opposites of the team. You got a team coming from South Beach, and mm-hmm. they're coming to Texas where it never snows. Well, it snows, but you just never know. And they're like, they're probably thinking of the same thing. We're playing in this stuff. Hey, man, we have flip-flops and shorts and short-sleeve shirts, and we're coming out to deal with this. But, yeah, that game right there was just God, it was just ridiculous. I mean, just everyone in the stands, and just the old Texas Stadium. Have you been to the old Texas Stadium, right?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and so you know where it's at. Just getting in there. And, again, just getting out. I mean, it was treacherous. It really was.
Well, hey, you know, that's a good memory. Again, made better by the fact that you guys didn't lose another game, won the Super Bowl. So shout out to Leon.
I think Leon, he cashed in. I think they did a Snickers spoof of the whole deal about
so
putting Snickers
won. Everybody
won. So, I mean, he made money off of it. Like I said, it's better to be remembered than forgotten.
There you go.
I don't care what bad publicity is good publicity sometimes. Just depends on what it is.
That's true. As long as they spell Leon Lett correctly, everything's good.
Right.
So Leon, obviously part of the current Cowboys coaching staff, and he's got a big task ahead of him in the Washington Redskins and Colt McCoy.
Let me ask you a question real quick before we get him on that.
Okay.
I wonder if some of the current players just say, "Hey, just give him a hard time about it."
Oh,
hey, coach,
dude,
you remember?
Absolutely. I got
what happened 25 years. Do you have any good memories? By the way, coach, give us your memories of the
I guarantee
the Thanksgiving
you,
Day game.
If it was me in practice this week, I would have run and done it in front of him and just like messed
up. I would replay it the whole time during practice. Hey, this is a great coaching point. Do not do this.
Just walk.
But you guys don't need to worry about it because the roof will be closed. But
yeah, exactly. Just walk up to him like, "Hey, coach, what's Peter mean? What's that mean? What do they? Why do they say that? I've heard that a lot.
Oh, that would be fantastic, man.
So
I would love that. Well, I hope those guys are giving him a hard time.
Every year, you should just text him on Thanksgiving Day, just the word
Peter. Peter.
Just text him Peter. That's all. So,
a great idea. Maybe I'll do that after we do our podcast.
Yeah, do that. So
I'll do it right now.
good for Leon Lett. Yeah. So there will be no snow, as you mentioned, this Thanksgiving. But we're swerving all over the place, but it's fine. It's Thanksgiving. It's a weird week. You know, people barely going to work and stuff, whatever. Your favorite Thanksgiving side dish, Tony?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to go with I love stuffing, but number one side dish is sweet potatoes with mushroom with a lot of cinnamon.
With mushroom or with marshmallow?
No, marshmallow. I'm sorry. That's marshmallow.
You said mushroom. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
No, marshmallows on top of that. But I just like putting everything. I like to mix everything. It's like a mixing bowl.
Yeah.
Potatoes, mashed potatoes, stuffing and that, and just kind of my plate turns into one.
Just like blob.
It's just like a plethora of all these different, you know, just mix it up in a mixing bowl. How about
that.
Yours?
I am a stuffing guy, and I call it stuffing, not dressing. I'm all about the stuffing.
I used to call it dressing. I think that was an Oklahoma thing, but stuffing, yeah.
Yeah, nah, you're way past that. The Oklahoma stuff's in the College Football Hall of Fame. We don't need that today.
Yeah, sometimes it comes out, though.
That's true. but yeah, stuffing's great. I like sweet potatoes, like fries and stuff, but I don't really like the marshmallow and cinnamon and all that stuff.
Man,
I can do with
it's like it's almost like a dessert.
I don't want to eat dessert during the meal. You know what I mean?
So I guess the sweet potato pie is out of the question.
I'm okay with that. The number one pie is pecan pie. That's my pie.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on that. I like pumpkin, but I got to have a lot of whipped cream on it.
Gross.
I'm a pecan pie guy.
I'm not a whipped cream guy. We also typically have a bunch of empanadas around Thanksgiving, so I will dabble in some pumpkin or pineapple empanadas. That's how we roll. You know, usually like the late night Monopoly game.
So can you explain that to some of our listeners what that is?
It's so an empanada is a Mexican pastry. Yeah, well, I guess pastry. Sometimes they're deep fried.
Yeah,
but right. It's essentially like a pocket. There's like a bread pocket of pumpkin or pineapple goo. Fruit stuff.
I've never had one.
There's like chocolate empanadas. They're really good. So they're really good. I'll hook you up. You know, there's a great bakery in the valley.
And I'm actually doing the cleansing right now, where you just kind of fast for about 8 hours. Nothing goes down the side of the throat for a while, and kind of prepare myself for.
Ah, you're readying yourself. I like
that.
Yeah,
I'm kind of evacuating everything right now and getting ready for the sweatpants and loose shirt tomorrow.
This is the pregame. This is you guys out.
Yeah, it's a preparation.
You're out right now. You're out on the sleeted surface at Texas Stadium getting ready for the game. That's what you're doing right
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, and okay. Not going to call Peter tomorrow.
Right, good call. who wins this game? I mean, who wins this game? Or let's do this. Which Redskin scares you the most?
Well, he's an old guy on that team. But Adrian Peterson, I think that they're really going to try to get him involved. He's had a tremendous year for someone with 33 years old. He's got 750 yards and is still, you know, got some dog in him. I think when you look at the wide receivers, when you look at some of the players that they have on that side of the ball. Now, Colt McCoy, he's a different type of player. I mean, Alex Smith obviously was a guy they brought in. But I'm not going to go to sleep on Colt McCoy. I think that he, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's been 4 years since he came to Dallas, and a lot of things have changed. And Tony Romo was a quarterback. Players have changed a little different. Defensively, they're pretty good. I like Ryan Kerrigan. I think he's a tremendous player. They brought in Ha Ha Clinton Dix from Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Norman, and so they're able to get after the passer, so they're pretty good on defense. But offensively, there's some matchups there. They got a great tight end. So Jameson Crowder is a pretty good. I mean, he's a good receiver.
You got Josh Dobson.
But not real. Yeah. So and then last week you saw the Houston game right at the very end when Alex Smith got injured. Colt McCoy came in and did a pretty good job, took a shot down the field, and it looked like that could have been a penalty on to Texans, but they didn't call it.
So I have
they actually came out and admit that there was a penalty.
I have a question about this because this is something a lot of people have thrown out. But as somebody who's been there, is the reason that Colt McCoy maybe had some success when he came in against Houston because the Texans were more prepared for Alex Smith? Is there any truth to that, or is that just something that people kind of end up saying?
That's a valid point. I mean, I think everyone always says that, but still, he's running the same offense. Mm-hmm. You know, Colt McCoy may be a little bit – I mean, he uses – he's a little bit more mobile, mm-hmm. but I think Colt McCoy has been there for a long time and he's studied under Alex Smith for a long time. So I think that as a backup quarterback, you got to prepare yourself like you're going to play. You go through all the reps and go through all the meetings, the game plan. And again, you know, Colt McCoy is a smart kid and he's a gamer and he's shown that he can come in as a backup quarterback. I mean, look at Nick Foles last year.
Sure.
I mean, you're only one play away, and who knows that, you know, what you can, or any backup quarterback in a National Football League. I know one thing. I'd rather have Colt McCoy than some of these other quarterbacks are backing up some National Football League teams. So I don't know. I think he really, and Jordan Reed, he's a tremendous, I mean, he's a good tight end. As we mentioned, Jameson Crowder, Maurice Harris, you know, but Adrian Peterson, that's what they're going to do. The thing about that really, I think that the Cowboys have an advantage is that on defense because mm-hmm. they've been playing so well. It depends on, you know, the health of their left tackle, Trent Williams. He's questionable for tomorrow. So, you know, I think that on that side, I think the defense is a pretty good matchup. But, again, it's kind of like, you know, we thought in the Atlanta game that the Cowboys could go in there and really, really score a lot of points on the Atlanta's defense because they had a lot of injuries, had a lot of people, and they just weren't playing good defense. But mm-hmm. I think on the road, I think you look at those different matchups, I really think that the Cowboys, there's a lot of matchups they can win. And if I look at it, Adrian Peterson, if that's what they're going to try to do is hammer the ball, I think the Cowboys are good enough on defense that they'll be able to, you know, stop the run.
Well, I think that's what I'm most scared of because the Cowboys kind of, I don't want to say got dominated, but they got beat in the trenches on both sides last time they played this team. And so if Adrian Peterson has a day, that's really going to make things difficult for them, I think, overall. I think you can make a great case that the Cowboys deserve to beat Washington in the first matchup earlier this season. So that's why I do feel a little bit optimistic because mm-hmm. it seems like they've developed and grown a little bit since then. They've kind of worked out some of those warts and wrinkles. Something I'm nervous about really isn't on the Redskins, and we hadn't touched on this yet, but is Brett Maher, the Cowboys kicker. He's now missed a kick of some kind, although last week was an extra point, not a field goal. He's missed a kick of some kind in four consecutive games. Now, three of those games have been decided by one possession. One of them, the first of this stretch, was in Washington when he missed the kick at the end of the game. In a game where I think, obviously, points are going to matter, are you at all worried about Brett Maher, or do you think everything's going to be fine there?
I mean, there's got to be some concern. I think the concern of his confidence level, where it's at. And if the Cowboys, you know, they continue not to score a lot of points, then, you know, those missed extra points, those missed field goals are going to come into play. And, you know, you mentioned the first matchup. I mean, it's such a, you know, it's a fluke play when you look at, you know, what happened with the snap and
snap infraction.
LP Loudersire moved the ball and moved it back 5 yards and he missed the field goal. And that's how the Redskins won. So it is a concern. I think the concern with the field goal kicker, RJ, is, you know, where they are mentally, because mm-hmm. it's such a mental job and such a job where you have to be in focus. And I think once you start losing that, and it's almost, you know, I always refer to it as a golfer. I mean, golfers start getting the yips and can't putt, can't make a, you know, six-footer. Mm-hmm. You know, you shoot even par and on the PGA Tour, you're going to be selling shoes. You're not going to last that long.
By the way, who's winning the match on Friday?
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Are you in on that? Will you pay your $20 to watch that?
Of course. I mean,
okay, like, well, I know some people.
I know, but I don't know why people are complaining about this because – Is it a little watered down and corporate now? Sure. But at the end of the day, it's Tiger against Phil. I would pay $100 for this. It's awesome.
I did think it was kind of – they tried to, like, hype it up. I don't know. You saw it on Instagram, the post of, you know, the Las Vegas trying to do the stare down and everything. Yeah. That was kind of lame.
Yeah. I mean, call it for what it is. I mean, but, you know – I would.
I'll watch it, man. I you know what? Both those guys, it'll get competitive.
Sure.
Now I don't know. It's going to be interesting because the way it's set up. I understand. It's just there's going to be other matches going on during this tournament or matchup. And so I want to see. I'd like to see it unplugged. I'd like to see like what they, you know, just the stuff that are more candid that they talk about.
Yeah. I want to see him
talk about, you know, hitting a six iron and,
yeah,
you know, him hitting like a stinger or whatever. I'm going to say, you know, listen to what, you know, what off camera, kind of them mic'd up. And I want to see some emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't need to see Tiger criticize Phil's three wood. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I want to see him say, oh, man, that reminds me of whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of stuff I want to see. I want
Tiger saying, see that chick over there on 18? No, I'm just kidding.
I want to see authentic. That's all I want to see. But I think Tiger wins. Who do you got?
Well, I got Tiger.
Of course.
But here's the thing. The reason why I ask you that, if you'll pay the $20, people are like, I'm not going to watch that. I'm like, why? Why not?
This is awesome. I think the important part about this is it's kind of like a field test. Because eventually, I mean, I'd love to get one of these with Jordan and Justin Thomas, you know what I mean? Or Rory and Patrick Reed. I mean, things like that. Like, so if we can learn from this and figure out kind of how the format works, I'm all for it. So I'm down.
But there's only two people I can think of, the modern day golf players, that people actually watch it. And I know one player has to be part of, and that's Tiger Woods. Because you just mentioned maybe bringing other matches in with these other players. I just don't think it would be as interesting. I don't think people would be just, you know, because, you know, Tiger transcends a lot more people. But I'm definitely going to watch it. But tomorrow I'm looking forward to watching this big matchup, this NFC East matchup, Redskins and, you know, coming to Dallas. And I always thought this. We talked earlier about, you know, playing on Thanksgiving Day. The best advantage that you can have, and maybe – it depends on how good a team you are. And you have the swing and advantage is you don't have to travel. And that's a big advantage to me. I read last time the Cavaliers are favored by 9. It's at least a 3-point, maybe a 4-point swing. If you're a good team and you're hot, I guess you're on a 2-game winning streak. I think hot. I mean, that's kind of
we've got really low expectations
for
hot.
We gotta
yeah, we've got the bar for getting hot is so low that it's 2 wins.
Hey,
a row.
You know what? It's more than what we've had this year.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so you're right. Cowboys are favored big time, and I think that you're right. I mean, when you talk about their momentum is going, they're at home. They're feeling good. They just got a big last-second win over the Atlanta Falcons. The Texans are kind of spiraling out of control, just lost their quarterback. They have to travel. All of those factors. Tony Pickett, who wins this game?
I got the Cowboys winning. I mentioned some of those matchups. I think the Cowboys, you know, the first matchup when the Cowboys played them on the road, Adrian Peterson had, what, about 100 yards rushing, right? They're 99, something like that. I think the Cowboys will – they'll stuff the run tomorrow because I think tomorrow, you know, Alex Smith and, again, I'm not going to sleepwalk on Colt McCoy because he, you know, he's shown, and that's 4 years ago, came here and won, but the team's different. I think their defense is much better. I just think they're going to really just lock down and lock in on Adrian Peterson and really say, look, dude, you're not going to stop the run. I mean, excuse me, we're going to stop the run. And that's all we're going to let Colt McCoy. And I think that this bodes really well for this defense. I got the Cowboys beating the spread in this. I said last week the Cowboys. I said last week the Cowboys would score 28, and what they scored 22. I think we both. I think I even said 30. I don't know. I decided I thought the Cowboys would outduel the the Falcons offense. I'm going to go. God, this is a good. I think this is the best game because if you get on a roll. And you start – all of a sudden, you start pounding them early. This is a game they need to start fast.
Sure.
Because on the road, Thanksgiving Day, guys like, hey, I want to get back to, you know, get back home. This is a game the Cowboys have got to start fast. I got the Cowboys winning 28-17.
Okay. So, like you said, you think the Cowboys cover.
I'll stick to that 28.
Okay. we were both a little off, as you said last week. I thought Dak would throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. Didn't go that way. One of my bold predictions that I wrote at the site was that the Cowboys would win by three, and they did. So, pretty pumped about that. I think this is a little close too. This team, the way they roll, they don't just win. You know, we can't just cruise to victory. That's not how this rolls. So I do have the Cowboys winning. I don't think they cover. I think they win something like 26-20. And I think that score is a little wider than the way the game works. I think maybe it's like 26-13 late, and the Redskins score a touchdown to bring it within six, and all of a sudden you sit up on your recliner at home, and then they try to kick an onside kick with like a minute left. They don't get it, and then, okay, cool, let's party. So I think the Cowboys win 26-20, get above 500 for the first time this season, which would be kind of sad that that happened on Thanksgiving, but still, above 500 is above 500, so respect.
All right, I got a bold prediction.
All right.
My bold prediction tomorrow is going to be takeaways.
Oh,
I got the Cowboys at least two takeaways tomorrow.
How are they going to come?
I'm going to go with one, at least I'm going to go with a fumble and an interception.
So one of each.
Okay. Byron Jones gets a pick, and one of the defensive linemen. I'm going to go with Randy Gregory this week.
See,
he gets a strip sack this week. And you give him props from last week, too. He got a sack in the Atlanta game.
One of my bold predictions for the site that I'm actually going to write as soon as you and I finish this was going to be that Adrian Peterson fumbles. That was going to be one of my bold predictions. So you've got.
I remember the last time he fumbled, he had that fumbleitis, was when the NFC Championship game, when he was with Minnesota. Remember, he just kept fumbling?
Well, you mentioned
he never fumbled.
You mentioned back in 2009 when the Cowboys beat the Saints, that NFC Championship game was a few weeks later. So, we went full circle here. So, yep. Okay. So
that's what we can do today. It's Thanksgiving. We're giving thanks a lot of different things today.
So you've got two takeaways is your bold prediction. Mm-hmm. I'll stick on the deuce idea. I think
– Okay.
You know, we've been talking all week, thankful memories, et cetera. And a lot of people's favorite Thanksgiving memory is Tony Romo's first Thanksgiving Day game against the Bucks back in 2006.
Oh, five touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, what a great day. I'm not going that bold. but I do think it's –
I was going to say, you said only 26 points, so you can't go that bold.
It's Amari Cooper's first Cowboys Thanksgiving game. I think he gets in the end zone twice. I think Amari Cooper gets in the end zone twice. So – And I think one of them is huge, like a 73-yard touchdown that is,
yeah.
And Twitter is, oh, I love Amari, I'm so glad we traded. And I think the other one's like first and goal, back shoulder sort of thing, like, you know, barely sort of thing. So two touchdowns for Amari Cooper.
So maybe this could be. I don't think it would ever live up to the, you know, the Dez versus Josh Norman.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they put. You know, Josh stays on one side of the field, but still. I'd like to see both those guys go at it tomorrow.
It's interesting because it was kind of the loss to the Redskins that really triggered the Cowboys to go trade for Amari. So kind of interesting. You know, they got out of Washington is my point. Mm-hmm. They reconvened and said, okay, we need Amari Cooper. That would have been the difference. So if you go out and you beat them, okay, you were right. You know what I mean? But if you come out and you lose to the Redskins, then, well, you said that this was the guy you needed. This was the difference, and obviously he wasn't. So it is fascinating from that narrative's standpoint. So this is going to be another weird week for us, Tony, because of the fact that the Cowboys play on Thursday Night Football next week, although obviously they do get 7 days. So this Jason Garrett, he loves this time of year because on Friday after the game, he'll be like, well, today's our Monday because, you know, like he does that all the time. Like Jason Garrett appears on ESPN San Antonio every actual Monday, but he doesn't during this stretch because to him, that Monday is a Wednesday. Or a
well,
Thursday,
you can
all, it,
well, whichever day it is, you can just go back and, you know, from the archives and just replay it.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything different, right?
That's true. So we'll be.
Yeah,
back.
You can go back from last Thanksgiving's day's game and go like the Friday's a Monday and they play on Thursday,
yeah.
And it'd be the same. Same interview, right?
Exactly. So
the
so,
clapper. I'm thankful for the clapper, aren't you?
Hey, that's your boy. He was there in 93. I mean,
that's my boy. Yeah.
So, did he clap back then?
You know what? Jason always smiled, though. He always had that smile on his face.
Really?
I mean, he is. That's kind of who he is. I mean, he's different, out of that realm of a head coach. I mean, but that's kind of his personality.
If someone had told you then that he would one day be the coach of the Cowboys, what would you have said?
I probably would ask for odds. It wouldn't have surprised me, him being a head coach, because the guy was a very smart dude and played a lot, had a long career in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. I would have told you no, he wouldn't have been the head coach, but I mean, I didn't think Barry Switzer was going to be the head coach.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So we'll be back on the 750 on our podcast feed on Monday. But we'll do some Instagram Live stuff. Maybe we'll jump on Instagram Live on Black Friday. Tony, you can tell us all the sales you're getting. And
oh, God, and stay away from Black Friday. Are you a Black Friday guy?
You know, we're getting a new house, so we've got to go get some stuff.
Well, congrats for you. I need to get you something for a housewarming gift.
Yeah, like a Tony Casillas just mural, and we'll put it in the living room above the fireplace.
I was thinking more like a flat screen.
That works too.
So, hey, if you want the mural, man, you can have that.
So we'll be back. We'll be on Instagram on Friday and back on the podcast next week. We both got the Cowboys. So, Tony, here's to 6-5. We'll see you on the other side, my friend.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone else out there.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you all. This was the 750.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech: why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.